A 650-foot ship carrying a crew of 23 people and a full load of packaged lumber has steering problems off of the Central Aleutians. The Coast Guard says the Singapore-flagged vessel Morning Cedar is 9 miles northeast of Tanaga Island and drifting out to sea. The Coast Guard is deploying aircraft and the cutter Sherman in case an emergency towing system needs to be deployed or the crew needs to be rescued. The ship's owners are trying to arrange for help. The steering system failed yesterday morning. The Coast Guard says the rudder is stuck hard to starboard on the Morning Cedar, and the crew could not repair a hydraulic leak. The Coast Guard says the vessel does have propulsion and the use of bow thrusters. The Sherman is expected to arrive on scene about 7 o'clock tonight. Winds in the area are reported to be about 26 knots with seas to about 12 feet. An agreement between the two federal agencies announced yesterday leaves just one formal step before the National Petroleum Reserve Alaska, or NPRA, is open for development. The U.S. Army Corps of Engineers has refused to allow ConocoPhillips to access the area through a bridge across the Colville River. That's because the Environmental Protection Agency had declared the Colville an aquatic resource of national importance. The agreement between the EPA and the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service declares a bridge across the river as the preferred alternative for accessing the reserve. Final approval by the Corps of Engineers is expected within a few weeks. That will allow Conoco to begin working on leases that it holds in the CD5 oil field on the North Slope. Alaska Senator Lisa Murkowski says the agreement is great news.
For years, we have been talking about the potential available within the NPRA. So to finally be on the way where Conoco will be able to advance a bridge over the Colville River to get to the other side is very welcome news.
ConocoPhillips' spokeswoman Natalie Lohman says the agreement is a positive step, but without final approval, she could not say when work would get underway in the CD5 field.
Because we haven't seen the permit nor its conditions, you know, we can't really say when we would start. But, you know, receiving this permit is one of the key steps in order to receive, you know, the go-ahead to sanction the project.
Murkowski says she spoke with Interior Secretary Ken Salazar, who assured her that the EPA is no longer objecting to the development, though she says it remains to be seen what conditions the agency will put on its final approval.
We are very, very hopeful that there will be no surprises with these conditions once we learn of the exact nature of them.
Congressman Don Young welcomed the agreement but added, quote, it should have happened sooner. And Senator Mark Begich praised ConocoPhillips and the Interior Department for continuing to work toward a deal. He said Alaska's oil and gas industry needs to hear some good news on the development front. The Federal Bureau of Land Management and the State Division of Oil and Gas will hold separate petroleum lease sales tomorrow in Anchorage. The federal agency is offering 283 tracts covering more than 3 million acres within the NPRA. The tracts are in the northeast and northwest areas of the reserve. The state is offering over 3,100 tracts covering over 14 million acres divided among the Beaufort Sea, North Slope, and North Slope Foothills areas. The tracts range from 540 to over 5,700 acres. Juneau police are reporting graffiti spray painted on a local church this morning. Officers say the Aldersgate United Methodist Church on Cinema Drive appears to be the only one vandalized. No other churches in the area appeared to be tagged with graffiti overnight. Black paint in the form of a swastika, 666, and what officers say was a drug reference to 420 were painted on the main church building and a separate garage. The investigation is still underway, and police say anyone with information should contact them or the Juneau Crime Line. Southeast Commercial Crabbers caught about 176,000 pounds of Red King crab last month in a fishery worth nearly $1.9 million on the docks. That's according to a preliminary estimate from the State Department of Fish and Game. Matt Lichtenstein has a look at the results from the region's first Red King crab harvest in 6 years.
54 permit holders fished the southeast red crab season, which opened November 1st and lasted just under 2 weeks total. More than half of the boats were out of Petersburg, where Icicle Seafoods was one of the local buyers. Randy Lantine is Icicle's fleet manager.
We ended up buying some crab for the live market, and we ended up sectioning and freezing some also. The price was strong. The crab were of good quality primarily. The meat fill was excellent on this crab. It was a good product.
It was the region's first Red King crab season since 2005. The fishery had been closed until this year because the state's annual survey had regularly yielded low estimates of harvestable crab. Crabbers disagreed with those findings, and in 2009, Department of Fish and Game biologists and fishermen began a collaborative effort to ground truth the annual results with a new method. The approach, called mark and recapture, resulted in uniformly higher numbers for each area they checked. That led the department to adjust this year's assessment upwards enough to have a fishery, which was, of course, good news for the industry. Lantine appreciated the joint effort.
The guys went out and caught some crab, and they made some money in a time when normally we're not making money. So it was always a good thing to utilize a resource, and it's encouraging the department and industry to be able to team up and do these surveys to help make this season happen.
The season's catch of about 176,000 pounds was roughly 88% of the department's region-wide guideline harvest level and about 35,000 pounds less than the 2005 catch. The GHL was split up among four separate harvest areas. As in the past, crabbers called in their catches so the department could estimate how much had been caught and close each area accordingly. Area 11A near Juneau closed after one pre-scheduled day of fishing. And based on call-ins, the Pybus Bay-Gambier Bay-Round Rock area off southern Admiralty Island closed after 3 days. The Excursion Inlet St. James Bay area west of Juneau and the rest of the region known as the non-surveyed area stayed open for 13 days. The department's regional shellfish project leader, Joe Stratman, thinks it went well.
We had good cooperation for permit holders on call-ins, so we were getting the information we needed to manage for these harvest objectives in these four specific areas. 11A is a little different. It was a relatively small amount of crab we were targeting there, so we just had a pre-announced one-day season there. But the other three management areas, Pybus Gambier Round Rock, Excursion St. James, and the non-surveyed areas, were managed for those harvest objectives through the call-ins of logbook data, and so that worked out very well.
Stratman says they also had good cooperation from the processors who helped keep the department up on what they were buying. Fish and Game saw good catch rates in both 11A and the Pybus Gambier areas, according to Stratman. The fleet caught just under 10,000 pounds, or about 110% of the target in 11A. The Pybus Gambier Bay area catch was nearly 60,000 pounds, or 91% of the department's objective. Stratman says things were a little slower in the Excursion Inlet St. James Bay area west of Juneau, as well as the non-surveyed areas at first. He says catch rates improved in the non-surveyed areas as the season went on and the pots soaked longer, but that wasn't the case in Excursion.
We didn't really see that in the Excursion St. James area. We saw a catch rate of roughly 1.5 crab per pot. The five-year average for the Excursion St. James area, the last five seasons that we've fished, the average catch per unit effort there was 3 crab a pot. So CPUE was down in the Excursion Inlet St. James area in comparison to a five-year average. That CPUE did not seem to improve with a longer soak of the gear.
Ultimately, the Excursion St. James area yielded about 13,000 pounds, which was just 45% of that target. But in the non-surveyed area, the fleet landed 96% of the goal with 93,000 pounds of crab. Southeast red crab was a lot more valuable this year, partly because much more of it went to the live market instead of being frozen. In fact, at an average approaching $11 per pound, the dock price was more than double that of 6 years ago when the fishery last opened. The crabs weighed an average of 8.4 pounds each this year, which is a little bigger than in 2005. That works out to nearly $100 a crab. According to Fish and Game, the entire catch was worth $1,870,000 to the fleet, which is over $700,000 above 2005's value. In Petersburg, I'm Matt Lichtenstein.